So Boker Tov world, today's daf in Masechet Ketuvot is daf Kuvav, and we have been discussing, remarkably, the dinim, which we would have thought we would have found in Masechet Sanhedrin, not in Masechet Ketuvot, of the issues of the way that a dayan has to be done, the question of whether there's any type of perversion of justice in cases of friendship, enmanship, shochat. We went through five different levels of different financials or non-financial elements that might influence the dayan's opinion about something. We learned incredible things about the whole idea of the relationship of din to any type of personal kind of prejudice. And specifically, we do this in ksuvas, as opposed to where you would expect. We've already found that we utilize the inyanim of a kesuvas as being models for how it is that we deal with various business ventures. We talked about the way that we prorate things, divide things, and now we're even talking about the way in which these types of cases, and I'm sure all of you know the extent at which specifically divorce cases are considered to be the most right now, I mean, the way people have tainas against bote dinim and so on, the most tainas that you're going to hear are always divorce cases. And therefore, this is good for the mokum in which the questions of netiyot, vehena, vehena are extremely important in the same way that we were shocked to the ability for a woman to be able to get what is come due her in terms of her ketuvah from the beginning of the Masechet. This becomes also central in terms of her ability to rely on a Beis Din. And by the way, you see exactly what happens today when that whole concept is broken down completely, where women have nothing but absolute despair from ever being able to be given a valid judgment from a Beis Din. And they go to, because of that, they go to the Goyim for Din. It's exactly why this Masechet takes these inyanim so very seriously. So the last thing that we had learned yesterday, we went a little bit ahead on Daf Kuf Vav, and the last thing we learned was Seder Eliyahu Rabba and Seder Eliyahu Zuta, and how it was that Eliyahu Hanavi refused to appear to, obviously, this Chavrusa, who must have been a gigantic Talmud Chacham and Gadol Hador and so on, Rav Anan, and nonetheless, the moment that has a furthest implication of something that he had done, that would have indicated he refused to have anything to do with it because of his sensitivity. And nonetheless, the very fact that he sent it onwards and he didn't explain, and the fact that he was involved per se changed the order of the docket of the court was enough to keep Eliyahu away from him and change the entire relationship to Eliyahu Rabba and to Eliyahu Zuta. Most remarkable story. So we're up to Bishneder of Yosef Haviritcha, and we're getting back to this because of, remember we discussed before, the question of whether the Dayan, after having disqualified himself from the din, would he be allowed to accept what it was that was being brought to him in the event that had nothing to do with the Dayanut, but it had to do with bringing Bikurim. This was a situation that we learned out of the Maase of Elisha, that somehow or other, we're calling Elisha an Eichel Bikurim because of the fact that Achila of a Talmud Chacham is the equivalent of an individual bringing Bikurim. Once we already saw that, today we would like to take a look at the story that brings us back again to that very moment of the Lechem Bikurim that Elisha took in a very strange roundabout way. But of course, the Gemara always has this multi-leveled, incredible approach. So let's take a look at the story of the hunger. So Bishneder of Yosef Haviritcha. In the years of Rav Yosef, there was HaKadosh Baruch Hu's anger against the land. Now, note that it doesn't say Havibatsurta, but Haviritcha. This turns out, I believe, to be very important to halacha. There was a sense, not that they are in the midst of a famine, but that they are in the midst of a turning away of HaKadosh Baruch Hu's Ratzon from them. Apparently, a lot of other things had happened, and there was a sense of the society failing, and that they were not in a position just to be able to go and be mispowel that it should start raining, and they needed to do something more fundamental, which it wasn't beyond them to do. So in any event, that's how I understand why it was that they didn't daven in those years to deal with the famine. So one of the implications of the Ritcha was that they didn't have enough to eat. So Amar l'Rabbanan l'Rav Yosef, why aren't you asking for rachamim? Why aren't you doing something about this? So he said to them, look, hashto uma elisha, and nonetheless, so I think that's the whole point that the Gemara is making, that Rav Yosef says it isn't a normal famine that we're talking about over here, that all we need to do is to be mevakish from HaKadosh Baruch Hu, to be merachim on us, and then we make our tiniers, and then we do teshuvah, and then we get, no, there is an overall midas hadin that is being shaleid on the island. And in situations like that, you don't just go ahead and mevakish rachamim. So, I mean, we know, Rachmana Litzlan, what type of horrific situations can take over the entire world and affect all of Klal Yisrael. And, you know, you ask yourself, I mean, can we get together and then be davening? And do it? No, says Rabbi Yosef, no, it's exactly what we cannot do. And I'll bring you a raya. If Elisha, who when he was left alone, and all of the Talmidim that Elisha had would go home for Shabbos or Ben Azmanim or whatever it was. So when they got up, they left behind 2,200 Talmidim that were personally dependent on Elisha's table. And that's the level of the interrelationship that he had with the world and with his Talmidim. And nonetheless, when it was a manifestation of Midas Adin, Lo Avi Boi Rachmei, he would not be Mispalo. So Ana Iboy Rachme. So what, I mean, I can't be even compared to that. So I should be able to go ahead now with the chutzpah. I'm going to ask Rachamim now. How do we know that there were 2,200? That comes from the pasuk that we analyzed before. So remember, we had the whole Maisa that we spoke about Ishba, Mibal Shamisha. So they were sitting around. They didn't have enough. Ha'ra'av Baretz, B'nanavim Yashrim Lefanav. There was all of the stories that happened where they were starving. So it says over there, and this was our raya yesterday, to the idea of the giving Talmid Chachamim food as the equivalent of akravas bikurim. So it says the ish bami baal shalisha vayavela isha Elohim, is a reference to Elisha, lechem bikurim esrim lechem seorim v'charmel betziklonot. So the Gemara understands this to be 22 different things. So there were Esrim Lechem Saorim, plus there was a Lechem Bikurim, plus there were some Carmel, which was unprocessed grain that was still in the covering, and it was fresh. Vayomer Tein La'am Vayochel. So Elisha says, give this to the boys and let them eat. So the Misharet says to Elisha, that's ridiculous. Ma Tein Zelifnei Me'ayish. I'm going to give this to 100 people. You'll eat and there'll be plenty left over. Fine. That's the pasuk. So now the Gemara says, what do you think that means? That we're going to take all of that and put it in front of 100 people? I mean, that's a pretty darn good lunch, you know? What, 22 separate things, which each one of them is enough probably for 5 or 6 people? I don't understand what the problem is. And plus, take into consideration, that's a pretty spoiled response during a period of famine, where you're giving people a very nice snack, at least, no? So what would he be complaining about? Therefore, that's Mishnei Batzera Tuva, but that's tons. It must therefore mean that these 22 portions were meant to be apportioned between groups of 100 apiece. That must mean that there were 2,200. When the Rabbanan got out of the Beis Medrash of Rav, they would leave behind 1,200 Talmidim. When they left from Rav Huna's yeshiva, they would leave behind 800 Talmidim. Those were the ones who didn't have where to stay for Shabbos. You know, Rav Huna, you should know, he had so many Talmidim that he made Mir look ridiculous. They only have 3 loudspeakers, and he had 13 loudspeakers. And I have Kiavi Kaimer Rabbonim Imetiv to the Ravuna, the Nafzik Limayu, when the Rabbonim would get up after a shir, and they would brush off their begotten, there was this plume of dust that used to rise from all of their begotten, Mikasi Leliyuma, and it would cover the sun. The Amri B'Ma'arava Komu Levi Metifta D'Ravuna Bavla. So in Eretz Yisrael, they would say, what is that, a dust storm in Saudi Arabia? No, that's Rav Huna's yeshiva, where they just got up and everybody shook off their clothes. Okay, obviously, I mean, there's someone refers that this means that when they would have a dust storm in Eretz Yisrael, they would say, oh, now we know what it's like when Rav Huna gets up. But it was obviously an exaggeration. Some say it was actually a nace, but whatever. We understand that it's one of the Gemara's exaggerations that we say we're supposed to use exaggerations. Okay. They left behind only 400 guys who didn't have a place to stay for Shabbos, and they considered themselves to be orphans. Oh, 400. There's nobody to talk to here. Ah, oh, the good old days when we had a few thousand people. At least you could find one person to talk to, you know. Now there's nobody to talk to. And some say from Ravashi. There were only 200 left behind. And they say, we're orphans of orphans. I mean, whoever heard of such a decline in the chashivas of Torah? Okay, fine. So, now, getting back to the Shnei Dayanei Gezerot, and we said over there that the Dayanei Gezerot, which we mentioned in the Braita, we had no discussion, that they were paid from the Machzis HaShekel. It says that they were paid specifically from the Lishka. Now, there were also others that were paid from the Lishka. And again, remember that all of this was brought in together with the sugya of the perversion of justice and the idea of having one's mind controlled instead of living in absolute freedom, and the fact that Limud HaTorah cannot be done when it isn't Bechina, and that a dayan who accepts money, and this has nothing to do, as we saw yesterday, nothing to do with his das being neita in one or the other direction. It's even where there is the same support coming from both balei dinim, and we even found that the very concept of limud has to be where the person is completely independent, because the nature of becoming connected to dependencies, even a dayan who would need to borrow something, if he needs to borrow a vacuum cleaner, and he's not part of a mutual society of borrowing and lending, which he also has what to give, is considered to be a non-independent dayan. And remember that was the most important element that Yisro had mentioned to Moshe Rabbeinu, that they all have to be beyond money. And that was the one thing he was unable to find, actually. And it's very, very difficult because of this, that where the entire Torah world is a world of dependency, to have the ability to obtain any truth out of Torah. And this we learned that from the pasuk of Moshe Rabbeinu's learning with HaKadosh Baruch Hu directly. I mean, there's no more powerful source than that the mokar of Limud HaTorah was in a situation of intense independence. Lechem lo achalti, mayim lo shatiti, I needed nothing. And that way the mind was stripped bare to truth. So we get back to the question of when it is. This was the idea that Tosfos created, and that the Rambam paskins la halacha, and that even the Rambam, who has massive, horrible things to say about the concept of kolels, or about people who take money for learning, is also made that in the event that a society has to survive by providing as a society, that it will be possible for people to come and to learn, that there should be Talmidei Chachamim, that is mutter. So that gets us directly to the question of the communal money that is utilized in this case for the payment of dayanim. And it turns out that there were other things that also came back to the Lishka and to the money that the Tzibur gave. So who was that? So Amar Yitzchak Bar Radifa Amar Rabami, I'll give you some other people. The Mavakri Mumim Shebirushalayim. There were people that would check over Karbonas for Mumim, and they were also paid Ayanotim Sicharan Mitrumat HaLishka. Now here Tosfos points out we have the same problem that we have with dinim, because it says there too that anybody who accepts money for being roya a mum, the mum is not allowed to be shechtan on. Exactly the same din as din of betelim that the Rav Avadi Bar Tanura makes such a fuss over about the gittim and Ashkenaz. So Tosfos says one possibility is that there's a difference between mume bechoros, where over there we have this chashash that the mumim would have been done on purpose, and the mumim of karbonis, and here it's talking about the mumim stam of karbonis, in which case we're talking about being mater karbon, not for achila, but for pinyan. But the other thing that Tosfos says is that the same idea applies here that applies to limud haTorah, that if this is the only way that society will have people that have the necessary expertise, then as a society, they can create an environment which provides for this type of thing. By the way, if you want to take a look at how dangerous this thing is, it is currently the mainstream of the destruction of the entire culture of the West because of the universities. The universities teach, so to speak, their Torah, and it's completely defined by the donors. And because of that, it's been a vast conspiracy of horrific nonsense and idiocies that are propagated there, and there's nobody that's able to be Emet Kenegdam. If he attempts to be Emet Kenegdam, so he loses his tenure. And it's exactly the same kind of nekuda in which society collapses into mono-thinking. Anyway, so we have the Mavakri Mumin, that Tosfos explains would be the same. Om Rav Yoram HaShmuel is also Talmidei Chachomim HaMelamdim Hilchot Shechita LeKohanim. Tosfos says later Hilchot Shechita includes Hilchot Malika. So people who have to teach the Kohanim how to do their Aveda properly with all the halachas, they too would be noted Scharan Mitrumat HaLishka. Om Rav Gil Amarav, Talmidei Chachomim HaMelamdim Hilchot Kmitza LeKohanim. Also a note in Schar Mitrumat HaMishka, it was very difficult to do Kmitza properly. It was essential for the Avodas Beis HaMikdash that there be a training process for people to know how to do Kmitza. And because of that, there too, we provided Schar Mitrumat HaMishka. Omer Abba Bar Pachona, Omer Rabbi Yochanan. There's another thing, that's Magiyei Sefarim Shem Yerushalayim. There were people who were careful, and Rashi understands this to be a public service that the community provides, the community, in this case, all of Kal Yisrael, provides in order that people should be Mekayim al Tashken be'alecha avla, that it's usur, as Eov said, it's usur. We learn from there that a sefer she'eino muga, you're not allowed to keep in your rishos. It's very difficult for people to do that, to be able to bring their sefarim for checking, or even when they know that there's a mistake. As you know, we'll wait till the sofer comes to town. I don't have time to get a check, but I'll write down somewhere where the problems were, and then we'll get back to be metakein. This is a disaster, because in the end, those mistakes end up getting in there, and we end up with an avla in our homes. And so what they did, according to Rashi, is that they paid actual individual experts, and you could bring your things in there, and they would rapidly check it through. Now, Lemaisa, there are other shitas of Rishonim, including the Ravid, the Ritva, and the Shita brings other places that this is not understood to be, that they take care of individuals, that it's talking about over here, that the Sefer of the Azora, which needed to be constant, that was the source for all other Hagos. So because of that, they had special people to maintain the Sefer Azora. Okay, anyway. So they were also, not Tzorah Mitrumas Alishka, the women who would make the parochot for the Beis HaMikdash would also take their schar from the Trumat HaLishka, but I disagree. Personally, I, Rav Nachman, disagree with Rav, and I say that this should be paid from Kodshei Bedek HaBayit, because after all, the parochot are part of the building, and anything that is coming from the building should be brought from the Bedek HaBayit, which is what Bedek HaBayit is for, Bayit Kishma. Parochot is part of the Bayit. Tolo Parochot, Achat Binyano Suyot. So the question is, how could Rav Nachman say that when the Braita says, Beferesh, Meitvei Nashim Argot Beparochot, Ubeit Garmo, Amaisa Lechem Aponim, and Beit Aftinos, Amaaseh HaKitoret, all of the above were paid for the Trumas HaLishka. So how could Rav Nachman argue with the Braita and claim that they were paid from Kodshei Bedek HaBayit? Answers the Gemara in the Braita, we're talking about the parochot that were put over the entrance ways to the Azor. So hatam bidabave, those things were not part of the binyan, because there are doors and gates and no need for a parochet. The only issue of the parochet is providing a sense of tzniut while the gates are open, that there shouldn't be people peeking in and looking what's doing. That's not nice. This is a special area where we relate to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. It adds to the kavod HaBinyan to have the tzniut at the gate. So therefore, it's not really part of the bayit, and it has to be paid for somehow by the tzibur. Therefore, this part would be paid indeed from, as we said, dafka, from the donations to the Trumas HaLishka. We'll see how it's put to abuse the Trumas HaLishka for that in a moment. But anyway, that's talking about for the Sha'arim, the Omer, Bizera, Omerav. Look, there were really 13 different parochot in the Migdash Sheni. So we had 7, connected to 7 Sha'arim. You'll remember that this was Gufa Machlokas between Midas and Tamid, according to the way Rava understood it, and that there were, according to one, there were 5 Sha'arim. According to the other, there were 7 Sha'arim. According to Rava, this was actually Machlokas Tanoi. So, okay, so over here we're going according to the Man Yomer, who holds there were 7. And we have to add, in addition to those 7, we have to add 1 to the entrance to the Heichal, 1 to the entrance of the Ulam, which was the porch in front of the Heichal, 2 of them in the Dvir, and 2 of them, which were also right above them, but on the second story of the Beis HaMikdash, which was, 50 stories up, but whatever. So the idea over there was that the ones that were, remember, in the Pitcho Shel Ulam and the Pitcho Shel Heichal, that's not part of the building. That was Tznius. But the 2 that were Bidvir and the 2 that were above them on the second story above the Dvir, they only appeared in the second Beis HaMikdash. Why? Because in the first Beis HaMikdash, the bias was low enough to be able to have a solid wall with a shaar between the Kodesh and the Kodesh HaKadosh. The problem was that in the Binyan of Hurtas, where they expanded the Beis HaMikdash and made it much taller than it had been, there was no way that they could make a wall thin enough to fit the architectural diagrams of the second Beis HaMikdash, which only allows for 1 amma between the Heichal and the Kodesh HaKadosh. So a 1 amma of 100 stories height, whatever, I'm exaggerating, is not going to be possible to make with the building materials that can be used in the Beis HaMikdash. So therefore, they had to substitute for it 2 parochot. 1, because they couldn't make it more than an amma, because that would destroy the plans that were given over Menashe HaMayim from Shmuel to David. You could not have more than an amma between it. So because of that, they used 2 parochot, 1 at the front of the amma and 1 in the rear of the amma, to take the place of that original 1 amma wall. Okay, so there it's part of the binyan, because it's literally tachas binyan aimet, the way that Reb Nachman was saying. So if it's part of the binyan, those 4 parochot, those indeed were paid for from the Trumat HaLid, from the Bedek HaBayit. But all of the other 9, the total of 13, those were paid for by exactly what we said. We had to find a source for it, so they came from the Trumat HaLishka. Tana Rabbanan, there were other people that were paid from the Trumat HaLishka. Remember that we had these special women who would give birth and would raise their children for the purposes of Pora Adum. So these children would be available to bring the water for the Pora Adum. We have the whole story of how we would take them out on top of these doors and make sure that they wouldn't become tame. But they were raised on raised platforms that had underneath them. They had a halal in order to prevent Tumas Hames from penetrating. And they were also used to be Mazal HaKayin, who was going to be Isis HaPara during the 7 days. Remember that we have that special, similar to Yom Kippur. And they were the ones that were used for other Avedas of the burning and so on of the Pora Adumas. This was a special Chumrah. Remember that was a little bit insane, but it was done on purpose as part of the Lohotzi Milibom Shel Tzedukim, when we had to be matir a tfulyom that we bedafka were metameh to make up for the zilzol that people might feel towards the Kedushas Hapara and towards the Zahiris from Tiras Hapara. So we did this insane thing of actually raising children that would never be exposed to the chashash of Tumas Meis, and therefore they would be raised on platforms. So we had to pay for that. And those women were supported actually from the Trumas Alishka. Now, Basholom, their Nashim Yekarot Sheb Yerushalayim, Ayazanot Otan, Mefanesot Otan, that actually there were women, rich women in Yerushalayim that dedicated themselves to being part of this magnificent effort to bring the tyrant to Yisrael. And that's where they got the money for that. Now, well, I mean, Erebuna Mirav. The question that I have is, what about clay sharet? Can you utilize bedek habayit to make clay sharet? Now, clay sharet are used essentially for the mizbeach hachitza. So do we say those are tzorach mizbeach? The mizbeach hachitza is considered to be a building, right? It was connected to the ground. And as such, it was definitely part of the bedek habayit because it's part of the bayit. And when you're talking about the Mizbach HaZahav, that was a kli, and that has to be part of the Kalim, which we'll talk about. But over here, we want to know what would be the din of the Kalim from Kli Sharet. Do we view them as the needs of the Korban? If they're from the Korban, so then they have to come from Trumas HaLishka, because that's money that was collected specifically for the purposes of the Korbanites. So that's the question. Do we take them from Berek HaBayit or do we take them from the Trumat HaLishka? So Rav said they are made from the Trumat HaLishka. They're not part of the Berek HaBayit. Now, when we're talking about the Berek HaBayit over here, we don't mean directly from the Berek HaBayit, but we're talking about whether we can use money that was left over after having used it for the primary use of Berek HaBayit. Can we use it also for the Kalim? So Rav said to them, no, you can only use the Trumas HaLishka. So Rav Huna was bothered by this because he said, it says, Beferish in a Pasuk, not like you. If you take a look at the Pasuk in Divrei HaYomim, so there it says, Ukechalotam, Yavir Lifnei HaMelech V'Yehoyada Et Sha'ar HaKesev. Now, there's very important differences between the same story of Yehoyada HaKohen in Melachim that we have about Yehoyada HaKohen, which we read, by the way, as one of the, you'll recall, the Haftaras, when we talk about the idea of Yehoyada with Trumas that we bring. So it says there in the Rayomim that they took Sha'ar HaKesev, the leftovers of the money, Vayaseu Kelim Levet Hashem Klei Sharet. Now that must mean that they had the leftovers of the money that was being brought to Yehoyada, which had been given for the Berek HaBayit, like it says, Beferish over there, that they were bringing it in order to make sure that the Beis HaMikdash was kept in good repair. And it says over here, since they had leftovers, so then they would use it for the Klei Sharet. Amazing. Omar Leis, so Rav says to Rav Huna, well, it's nice that you had a Rebbe that would teach you Ksuvim, but obviously he never taught you Nevi'im, because you've got to take a look at the same story, Malachim, and you'll see that you're wrong. So the Akriach Ketuvi, Lo Akriach Nevi'im. So you see from there, Beferish, in the same story, it says in Malachim, Ach Lo Yeaseh Beit Hashem Sipot, it says Beferish, that they would bedafke not utilize that money that was being brought over here to make sipot kesev, any type of sipot, mizmerot, mizrakot, oh my gosh, or chatzotrot, or any kokle zavachle kesev, mina kesev amuva bet Hashem. So that means whether we're talking about the musical instruments or whether we're talking about the cups that were used for Zrikas Hadam, or the shofarot, the trumpets that they use, or anything else from that money, which was Berek HaBayit. So what are you asking me? You can't read. Wait a minute. So then we've got a serious contradiction between Malachim and Divrei HaYomim. So okay, I understand, but what are we gonna do about that? You know, because I mean, if Rav Huna explains that it's got to be talking about the leftovers of the money that was being brought specifically, which was the leftovers from the Bet HaKabayit, so then how do we explain it? Says the Gemara, not a problem. The first pasuk that we brought is talking about Shegavu Vodiru. There they had collected money for the Bet HaKabayit, and it was leftover. So fine, the leftovers could be used. Mashain Cain, where we're talking about a Malachim, it's talking about they collected the money, Velo Hatiru. So you couldn't use the Iker money. That's the Gemara, so that doesn't make any sense. If the din is that you're not allowed to use that money, Bet HaKabayit, to be used to be Klei Sharet, because they're not considered to be part of the bias, they're part of the karbanos, which is the way that you yourself defined the sugya. So what is the heter to use even the meiser? I don't understand. You can't use the meiser for something entirely different for what it was given. So what is exactly your sephora? That doesn't make any sense. Omer Rebbe Abo, must be that leiv beit din matne alehem, im utzruchu utzruchu, im lav yehi klei sharet. Must be that lechatchila, it's true that the people didn't give it, but since people have in mind that the Beis Din should be able to utilize this and they give it al das Beis Din, so Beis Din have in mind that if there's anything that's going to be left over, this is what the leftovers should be applied to Klei Sharet. That is the way that we understood the difference. Tana Devei Rabbi Shmuel, Klei Sharet, Bo'in Mitrumat HaLishka. Maisa Rav's is backed up by the price. So it says over the Farish, and Dafka, you know where it says it? It says it in the very pasuk that Rav Huna was bringing as a kasha, ends up being a riot to Rav. Because what was the pasuk? It said over there, at Sha'ar HaKesef, right? So we explained so far, okay, so that's talking about leftovers from the Bet HaKabayit, if you hold it, it was referring to the Bet HaKabayit. Rav said it's not referring to the Bet HaKabayit, and we Dafka bring a raya that it's referring to the Trumas HaLishka. Because since it's called Sha'ar Kesef, Ezo Kesef Sheyesh Lo Shirayim, that means money that has by definition leftovers. Not money that might have leftovers in the event that you have enough money for the Bet HaKabayit that year that you can afford to buy the Kalim. That's not the meaning of Sha'ar Kesef. It means that there are Shirayim. And therefore, it's got to be referring to the money that was the Trumat HaLishka. Why? Very simple. When you collect money for the Bet HaKabayit, any leftover money is simply applied to the Bet HaKabayit of the next year. There's no din of a year's worth of Bet HaKabayit. But when it comes to the Trumas HaLishka, you're not allowed to use the money of the Trumas HaLishka from the previous year once Rosh Chodesh Nisan comes around. You're mechuyev to take out new money. So then what the heck are you going to do with the money that you had left over if you cannot use that money to buy korbanos for the next year for the tzibur? Oh, that's called Sha'ar Kesef. Kesef that was specifically created in the first place with the likelihood that it's going to be leftovers, because we certainly can't plan it out precisely, so we've got to go beyond. Says the Gemara, why not say it's referring to the Shirayim? Now, gentlemen, in order to understand this, we have to remind ourselves of the Dinim of Shkolim. And I would be most grateful if I could see some of you when we're talking about memories, we're talking about things we learned together. The second Shkolim, and I'm talking to a bunch of names. It's outrageous that you do this. So if you recall, we sat together with you, yes, you, not your names. We sat together and we learned Shkolim, and over there we discovered that the derech of the Trumas HaLishka was that first of all, we had the separate large containers that were kept in HaLishka. And then we would do three times a year a Truma. What does a Truma mean? We had smaller containers, were dipped into those containers, the silver was taken out, and that was called whatever was left over from the container that had been taken Truma from, was called Shiyore HaLishka. That was leftovers that had never been brought out in the Truma in the first place. There's a whole list of things that are brought from Shiore HaLishka, which is not to be confused from the Kesev of the Lishka, and which is not to be confused with the idea of the Trumas HaLishka itself. And here we're talking about the Mosar of the Trumas HaLishka, which means that we could be talking about, when we're saying the Lishka, we could be talking about the Trumas HaLishka, we could be talking about the Shiore HaLishka, and we could be talking about the Mosar Trumas HaLishka, which cannot be used now that the first of Nisan has arrived and we have to take out new Trumas HaLishka. This is very similar to people disappearing back into names very slowly through the year as we use them up. And then we have to get new people in order to fill up the empty kelim the next year. So we should be able to have karbonos. Stubborn. All for a pound of flesh and a cup of coffee. Beyond belief. Or even worse, a bowl of porridge. Get on there, Richie. Oh, man. All right. In any event, so what we're talking about over here now is five different possibilities, right, so far. What we've been talking about is money for Bedek HaBayit, leftover money for Bedek HaBayit, which is the way we wanted to originally understand the idea of the Shar HaKesef. Money that is meant to be left over in the first place, which is Shiore HaLishka, the Trumas HaLishka itself, which is for the Korbanos, and the Moser Trumas HaLishka. That gives us five different things. Now, we're going to see there's lots of other possibilities of where monies would be had. But we're going to have to deal with the differences between the utilization of these various fundings, okay? Therefore, the Gemara is asking over here, what makes you say that when it says the word Sha'ar HaKesev, that it's not referring to the Shiore HaLishka, the money left behind after taking out the Truma? Why are you saying that it's from the Mosar HaTruma itself? And this is Kiryam HaRav. Remember that Rav learned out Ha'ola. So that we learned out from Yikraftem Al Ha'ola that all other things that are brought in the Beis HaMikdash can only be brought after you brought the Ola, the Korban Tamid Shel Shachar. Why? Because that's Ha'ola with the capital He, so to speak. That is the first Korban that the Torah describes. And therefore, he ha-ola, al-mogda, and so on. So that ola, that has got to be the first thing. The same thing is true over here. When we talk about ha-kesev, that's got to be talking about the kesev rishon. It's got to be talking about the money, which is the truma that's taken out of the lishka, and not the money that was left behind from the lishka. So therefore, it has to be the money we're saying over here specifically. That money that is has left behind a share. That's the pshat. So the remainder is in the lishka behind, but that's not what we're using. Now, so according to Rav, what did we say? We said that we're going to bring dafka, the kleshores, from the machzis ha-shekel. Ask the Gemara. Says in the Braita Ketoret v'chol korbanot tzibur ba'im mitrumat ha-lishka. And what comes from the Trumat HaLishka directly? The Korbanos that the Tzibor is bringing, which include the Ketores, even though the Ketores is not coming specifically for the Kaparat HaTzibor, which is what people you would think are donating for. We're giving also for the Ketores. The Mizbeach HaZahav. Now, the Levona is a big problem because the Levona is actually taken out by the Gra for the very obvious reason that the Levona that is being referred to would be Levona that we bring with the Lechem Aponim. But the Levona that we bring on the Lechem Aponim is part of the Korbanos HaTzibor. So why would we treat it differently than anything else? So therefore, it takes out the word Levona. But the Mizbeach HaZahav, which is a Kli. The Kli Sharet. Those things come from the Motar Nisachim. Now this is the sixth thing that we've discovered as a possible base for financing the needs in the Beis HaMikdash. Benny, you need to mute yourself, sweetie. And that gives us yet, Benny, mute. That gives us yet another source of funding.
It's Yaakov.
I'll mute both of them, I hope. I don't know. Why it's not letting me mute. Oh, here we go. Yaakov, I can mute. Right. So all of these, what exactly is the Motah Nesachim? That we're going to see that there's two possibilities for Motah Nesachim. One possibility that we'll discuss is that there's a concept called Birutzei Midot. I don't know where that Gavi is, and I don't know where that Moshe is, and nobody's taking the list. I could ask the Rebbe, but you never know if the Rebbe is willing to become a third party in this. I don't know. But if he wants to write down Birutzei Midot, and he wants to write down the Moshe Nesachim, that would be lovely. And that would be that when you supply the Beis HaMikdash, you supply the Beis HaMikdash with overflowing containers. And those are called birutzim. So they're not flat. They haven't been shaved off the top, smoothed down. And when it gets into the Beis HaMikdash, over there, it's taken off. But that was given for free, so to speak, because you only pay as the Gizbar in the Beis HaMikdash for the value of, let's say, 1 liter. But you end up getting more than that. And that adds up quite a bit over the 100,000 times that this is used in the course of a year. So that's one approach, Birutzei Midos. And the other approach is that it's referring Moser Nesachim to price fluctuations. Because remember, price fluctuations are always decided in favor of the Beis HaMikdash. So if the original supplier, this is purveyors to the king, remember, purveyors to the king, they have to be willing to take the bumps in the road if they want to be called purveyors to the king, like you find in England, they're purveyors to Her Majesty, so then it doesn't come free. So purveyors to the king, Melech Malchei HaMelechim, they have to provide, according to their contract, even if the price of the commodity goes up precipitously, they're going to have to provide on the basis of the original evaluation in the first contract. So we're going to be providing wine all year, let's say, at the cost of X per liter wine. Now suppose the cost of wine drops. Now they have to match the price. So they're always going to be on the bottom. They're always going to be providing more. And in that case, the Mosar is therefore sold by Hegdash, and they have a right to that. Okay, so this would also be Mosar Nesachim. And we'll talk about other possible income later. Mizbach Ola, the Lishakot, the Azarot, that's all part of the Mbinyan. And that comes from Kachiperek HaBayit. However, the Chomata Azara is not part of the actual Migdash. It's added to the Migdash, as it's the extended Migdash, according to the Rambam, as well as Yerushalayim, and the walls of Yerushalayim. All of those things come from the Shiore Halishka. And that is precisely why we have the Mishnah that says in Shkolim, Chomat Ha'ir u'migdoloteha, l'chol tzorchei ha'ir. We're talking about the tzorchei ha'ir. We mean the things that require digging. So that's if we need a water system, that's going to have to be supplied also from the same idea. They are come Oin Mishiyare Halishka. So there it says that it comes from Moser Nesachim. So now that's against what Rav said. Rav said that it comes from the Machzis HaShekel Mosa. Answers the Gemara, you're right. This price is against Rav, but it's a Machlokas Tanai, because it happens to be that it says in the Mishnah in Shkolim that the Moser Truma, not to be confused with the Moser of the Lishka, which is called the Shiyore Halishka, and not to be confused with the Moser of Berek HaBayit, which can be applied to next year. But the Moser Truma, Mehayu Simba, Rikuei Zahav, Tzipoy LeBeit Kodesh HaKodeshim. So what was done with that? Yes?
Could Rabbi just clarify the levels of the money that comes
in? I will when we finish all of them. I'll go through all of them. But what did they use for that? They used it to make thin tiles, gold tiling, that they could cover the walls and the floors of the Kodesh HaKodashim for. And Rabbi Shmuel says, no, actually, the Motar Peirot, that was used for Kayetz HaMizbeach. But here we have yet another concept. What in the world of Motar Peirot? Motar Peirot means that there was profit coming into the Beis HaMikdash. Those nasty Pharisees turning the Beis HaMikdash into a factory for making money. Well, there was a lot of money to be made in a Beis HaMikdash. And that money was, as we'll see, they had all of these extra things that they were supplied with at special prices. They would sell them. They would invest with them. And that raised a lot of money. So that was used to feed the Mizbeach dessert, so to speak. So when the Mizbeach got hungry and we ran out of korbanos to be brought, so that we brought it from there. Obviously, we had other sources as well. Remember that we spoke about it in many places. We had Moser Nesachim and so on. Fine. Moser Truma, the extra left over from the Truma Salishka, that went to Klei Shoris. Now, that is exactly what Rav said. So Rav has got a mocker. Rabbi Akiva says, Moser Truma, that went to the Kites HaMizbeach. The Moser Nesachim, that went to the Klei Shoris. And that is yet another opinion of where we got the Klei Shoris from. And remember what the Moser Nesachim is. It's the Machlokas about Birutz HaMidais and was probably part of the two Pshatim that we had there. Rabbi Chanina Skanakonim argue on all three of them. Rabbi Chanina Skanakonim said, Moser Nesachim went to Kites HaMizbeach. And the Meiser Truma went indeed L'Klei Shoreis, and that therefore we've got both Rabbi Chanina and Rabbi Shmuel back up Rav, who says that we bought Klei Shoreis with the Moser of the Truma. The Tana Kama and Rabbi Akiva disagree. But both Rabbi Akiva and Rabbi Chanina's Kanakonim did not agree about Moser Peres. Meaning what? What are these Peres? Peres Mai, Netanya. Moser Truma, what did they do with the leftovers of the Truma? They would buy Peres because they had a tremendous, this, remember, the Beis HaMikdash was Walmart and they could set the prices. So they went ahead and they would buy tons of produce and they got tremendous deals. So they were selling, buying at Walmart, you know, forcing down the price. And then they would sell them biyoker. And that was real business. And the profit, that was mekitzit bo'at ha-mizbeach. And that is the meaning of what we said before in the Mishnah. Zeh ma she'shanino motar perot l'kayetz ha-mizbeach. So now when we're learning that Rabbi Akiva and Rabbi Chanina's Kanakonim disagree, lo ayu modim beperot, what does that mean? It's not. Motar she'yore ha-lishka. So the leftovers of the Shirot, oh my gosh, this is yet another thing. What are Moser Shiyore Alishka? That there was a Moser from the Shirayim, or is that the same thing as the Shirayim? No. The Shiyore Alishka was used, remember, to take care of the Chaimais Yerushalayim and waterworks and so on. But there was a Moser of that if it wasn't needed. And that Moser, that's yet another source of funding. So the Moser of the Shiur Alishka, that was used for Yenot Shmonim, buying cheap at Walmart, and they would sell Yain V'Shemen, and would sell, the profit would go to Hegdash. So Tainis Rabbi Shmuel. Rabbi Akiva Omer, we don't turn Hegdash into Walmart. Ein Mistakrim B'Shal Hegdash. And we don't turn Tzedakah money into Walmart. And Lo B'Shal Aniyim. Mishal Hegdash, my timer, it's a bizoyan. Ein aniyut b'makom ashirut. The Beis HaMikdash is meant to be a place in which it's the Malchus, the expression of the Malchus. Can you imagine that the Malchus being supported as Walmart? Trucks pulling up to bring out produce, selling in the shuk with the big, you know, Mikdash symbol on the front. You know, what is this, Shas? That's a disaster. So therefore, it was usher to do such a thing. And what about Shal Aniim? Why not? Because Dilma Misraim Elu Aniye and Leka L'Mesvele. You have to be fluid. You cannot have your money tied up. If it's tzedakah money, because it must be available for immediate use for Aniim that need it, and you won't have to give him anything here. Leka L'Mesvele. Okay. So now we have this tremendous list here of all of these different inyanim that were all brought from various sources. And as Alon said, we ought to go through and decide, well, can we have a sum up of all of the possible types of funding? So we started, remember, with the Trumas HaLishka itself, and we had the alternative of the Berak HaBayit. We went on to the Moser of Trumas HaLishka. The Moser of the Trumas HaLishka, that ended up being the Machlokes, whether we used it for the gold tiles, or whether a Libet Rabbi Shmuel, we used that for the Kelim. But the Trumas HaLishka was used for Korbanos and for the Keteres. The Berak HaBayit was used for the actual parts of the Binyan. The Shiyori HaLishka was used for Yerushalayim walls, towers, waterworks that we agreed on. Then there was the Moser of the Trumas HaLishka, Machlokes Tanoim. According to Rabbi Shmuel, these were prophets. These were the Moser Peros, and we used that to fund the Mizbeach, for Kaitz of Mizbeach. According to Rabbi Akiva, we used the direct products for the Kaitz of Mizbeach. We didn't turn it into Walmarts. Okay, then we talked about the actual Moser Nisachim. And we said the Moser Nisachim was Machlokes exactly what they were, and it was also Machlokes what to use them for. According to Rabbi Akiva, that's where we made the klisharis. According to Rabbi Chanina Sikana Kohanim, that was used for the Kayetz HaMizbeach. So that we've got all of these different types of funding, and it's very important to remember when we talk about HaLishka, you have to know exactly what you're talking about. The Trumas HaLishka, the Shiyori HaLishka, the Meiser Trumas HaLishka, or the Meiser Shiyori HaLishka. Those are four possible fundings out of the Lishka itself. Yes, Avon.
How does that tie into the level of Kedusha that's attached to that money?
That's already part of our limit of Shkolim. I don't think we can deal with it today.
But each one has a different level of Kedusha and therefore is applied in that way of the
Kedusha. No, it's the question of the connection of the Tzibor to that money and what it was that it was given for. And in all cases, we have the idea of Leif based in Masna. So we use the Leif based in Masna if we held it was coming from the actual Berak HaBayit, because obviously we couldn't just use it for whatever we wanted. And as a matter of fact, Tosus points out that we didn't say that initially when we were talking about Beis Garmo, Beis Aftinos, and all of that. Why didn't we ask over there how we're able to use it over there? That's because, as Tosus says, it was given with that understanding. The Klal Yisrael knew that we needed to pay for making the keteris and so on. So anything that was rogyo as a use for the korbanos, that we didn't have to have leif bezdin. But these other things, those are things that we would need a leif bezdin to be, because it wasn't rogyo, leif bezdin to be masna olav.
Could Rabbi repeat the four, please, that are associated with the word lishka?
We have the trumas lishka and the shiori lishka. And we have the Moser Trumas HaLishka, and we have the Moser Shiyori HaLishka. Those were the four.